block your body's production of melatonin. Keep your sleep area for just that, sleep. Going screenless at night can help you sleep better, longer. Bring us on. Adults need 7 to 9 hours every night. Do you get it?
CFRC from Kingston, Ontario. Your volunteer program, campus and community radio at 101.9 FM and on the web at cfrc.ca.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Opposing the resolution, 88 votes. In favor of the resolution, 420.
The American Historical Association members, the oldest U.S. learned association, overwhelmingly approve a resolution to oppose scholasticide in Gaza. We'll speak with the former AHA president, Barbara Weinstein, and UC Santa Barbara historian, Shireen Saikali, editor of the Journal of Palestine Studies.
We won it in a landslide, and this moment makes me feel like, despite the fact that every single day for the last 15 months I have watched the obliteration of my people, the future is still ours.
Then, the return of Trump 2.
The new one is, President Trump has ceded the presidency to Elon Musk. No, that's not happening. But Elon's done an amazing job. Isn't it nice to have smart people that we can rely on?
We'll speak with the Boston University historian Quinn Slobodian about the influence of tech billionaires like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos on the incoming Trump administration. And we'll speak about Slobodian's book, Crack Up Capitalism, Market Radicals and the Dream of a World Without Democracy. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israeli forces continued their unrelenting assault on the Gaza Strip throughout the weekend, killing scores of Palestinians, even as Israeli and Hamas officials resumed talks in Qatar aimed at a ceasefire. Al Jazeera reports Israel carried out over 100 bombings in just 3 days. Earlier today, more than 40 Palestinians were injured when an Israeli drone bombed a school housing displaced people in central Gaza's Nusayrat refugee camp. Before that, an Israeli attack on a residential building in the Berej refugee camp killed 4. And 7 Palestinians, including 2 farmers, were killed in 3 separate attacks in Rafah. In Gaza City's Sheikh Radwan neighborhood, an Israeli airstrike late Saturday killed 11 people, most of them members of the Zud family. Relatives of the dead worked by hand to sift through the ruins of their home, hoping to find loved ones trapped in the rubble.
3 young men, the son's wife, and 3 children are still under the rubble. We retrieved this cousin of mine. Another cousin has been martyred and is now in the hospital. Approximately 11 people have been martyred here.
The Palestinian Ministry of Health reports another baby in Gaza has died of hypothermia, the 8th such death. In Qatar, representatives Hamas say they've approved a list of 34 Israeli hostages to be released as part of the first phase of a potential ceasefire deal. The list includes all women, children, seniors, and sick people still being held in Gaza. A spokesperson for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu downplayed talk of progress toward a ceasefire as spin and dismissed Hamas's offer as propaganda and psychological terror, unquote. In the occupied West Bank, 3 people were killed, 8 others wounded, when 2 attackers opened fire on Israeli cars and at a bus near the West Bank settlement of Kedumim earlier today. Israeli soldiers said they were pursuing 2 suspected Palestinian shooters. President Biden's reportedly notified Congress of a new $8 billion arms sale to Israel. The deal includes artillery shells, small diameter bombs and warheads, and munitions for fighter jets and helicopter gunships. In approving the sale, Biden once again rejected calls to suspend U.S. support for Israel's military over war crimes committed in Gaza. The Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, condemned the sale, writing, quote, only racists who do not view people of color as equally human and sociopaths who delight in funding mass slaughter could send Netanyahu even more bombs while his government openly kidnaps doctors, destroys hospitals, and exterminates the last survivors in northern Gaza, CARE said. Israel's embassy in Brazil helped a 21-year-old Israeli Army reservist flee the country after a Brazilian federal court ordered police to open an investigation into possible war crimes he committed in Gaza. That's according to the Israeli newspaper Haaretz, which reports Yuval Vagdani was under investigation for his role in planting explosives and destroying entire neighborhoods in Gaza. The Hind Rajab Foundation, a Belgium-based group advocating for Palestinian rights, had compiled 500 pages of evidence against Vagdani before Israeli diplomatic staff reportedly helped smuggle him out of Brazil. The Israeli military has warned its soldiers they could face arrest while traveling abroad over crimes committed in Gaza. Ukraine's military has launched a surprise cross-border offensive in Russia's Kursk region, where there are reports of fierce fighting. Before Ukraine's renewed offensive, Russia had retaken much of the territory Ukraine seized when it first invaded Kursk last August. On Sunday, one person was killed, another wounded, when Russian forces shelled the city of Nikopol in southeastern Ukraine. Further south, at least 8 people were wounded when Russian troops shelled the city of Kherson. Meanwhile, Russia has vowed to retaliate after it said it shot down 8 U.S.-supplied ATACMS missiles fired by Ukraine at the Russian region of Belgorod. Russian President Vladimir Putin previously threatened to respond to such attacks using Russia's new nuclear-capable hypersonic ballistic missile. On Capitol Hill, House Speaker Mike Johnson squeaked through a win, retaining his gavel on Friday. After Donald Trump called 2 Republican lawmakers to ask them to change their votes to support Johnson. In an acceptance speech, House Speaker Johnson said defending the nation's border should be Congress's number one priority.
In coordination with President Trump, this Congress will give our border and immigration enforcement agents the resources that they need to do their job. We will secure the border. We will deport dangerous, criminal, illegal aliens and finally finish building the border wall.
Earlier in the proceedings, after the first roll call vote, the Democratic delegate from the U.S. Virgin Islands, Stacey Plaskett, addressed the chamber. She asked why delegates representing 4 million U.S. citizens from the Virgin Islands, the Northern Mariana Islands, Puerto Rico, and the District of Columbia were not called to vote before her microphone was cut.
This body and this nation has a territories and a colonies problem. What was supposed to be temporary has now effectively become permanent. We must do something about this problem so that these 4 million...
With the House Speaker voted in, a joint session of Congress's meeting today is scheduled to count electoral votes and certify Donald Trump's win. Outgoing Vice President Kamala Harris, who repeatedly called her election rival Trump unfit for office, will oversee the process as the president of the Senate. This comes exactly 4 years after a horde of Trump supporters attack the U.S. Capitol and attempt to delay the certification or stop it of Joe Biden's win and keep Trump in power. Trump has vowed to pardon those convicted for taking part in the Capitol insurrection. One of those convicts is 32-year-old Anthony Vo, who recently fled to Canada instead of reporting for his 9-month prison term. Vo, who's since been giving interviews and snowboarding at the Whistler Resort, is hoping to receive a Trump pardon or asylum from the Canadian government. Meanwhile, Donald Trump is set to become the first felon to serve as U.S. president after New York judge Juan Merchan upheld his felony conviction in his 2016 election subversion hush money case. Trump is scheduled to be sentenced this Friday, January 10th, though he's not expected to receive any prison time. In more Trump news, the president-elect hosted far-right Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni at his Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida Saturday. Trump described Meloni, who also has close ties to Elon Musk, as a fantastic woman who's, quote, really taken Europe by storm, unquote. Meloni's meeting with President Biden later this week as he travels to Rome and the Vatican. The Pulitzer Prize-winning political cartoonist Ann Talness has quit the Washington Post after her editors rejected a cartoon depicting billionaires genuflecting to President-elect Trump. Talness says it was the first time since she began her work at the newspaper in 2008 that she had a cartoon killed because of who or what she chose to aim her pen at. A draft of the cartoon depicts big tech owners kneeling at Trump's feet, offering up sacks of cash. Among them is Amazon founder and Washington Post owner Jeff Bezos. Just 2 months ago, the Post featured Ann Talness in a video celebrating her work.
I mean, just look at all the autocrats that hate editorial cartoonists. I mean, and not in this country, hopefully. But, in, you know, a lot of my colleagues overseas are thrown in jail for doing cartoons about powerful people. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, we're journalists. We're opinion journalists, but we are journalists. And that is our job as editorial cartoonists, to bring up sometimes uncomfortable truths.
On Friday, Ann Talness published an online post titled, Why I'm Quitting the Washington Post, in which she writes, quote, I will not stop holding truth to power through my cartooning because, as they say, democracy dies in darkness. That's the slogan of the Washington Post. This comes after Jeff Bezos prevented the Washington Post from endorsing Kamala Harris for president, and as Amazon's Prime Video service announced it's acquired exclusive licensing rights to a new behind-the-scenes documentary about incoming First Lady Melania Trump. Amazon also plans to donate $1 million to Trump's inauguration fund and said it would stream the event on Prime Video as a separate in-kind donation worth another $1 million. Later in the broadcast, we'll speak with Boston University historian Quinn Slobodian, author of Crack Up Capitalism. North Korea fired a suspected intermediate-range ballistic missile into the sea earlier today as U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken visited Seoul, where he called for the U.S., South Korea, and Japan to band together against Pyongyang's warming relationship with Moscow. Blinken's visit comes amidst a deepening political crisis in South Korea as authorities have failed to execute an arrest warrant for impeached President Yoon Suk-yeol, who remains barricaded behind heavy security. Tense protests pitting Yoon's supporters and his critics have erupted near the presidential residence. Yoon defenders have been holding signs reading Stop the Steal, a reference to Trump's 2020 election subversion campaign. This is a protester in Seoul.
Now our country, the Republic of Korea, is fighting against Chinese agents and those who are subservient to socialism. But we will recover soon. Our president, Yoon Suk-yeol, is at the forefront of this fight. Just as U.S. President Trump has stood against a fraudulent election, we will reveal the truth about the fraudulent elections in our country as well.
And two of Canada's biggest newspapers are reporting Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is preparing to resign as Liberal Party leader as soon as today. Trudeau has faced growing calls to step down amidst high inflation and after his finance minister quit amidst a public spat over how to respond to Trump's vow to impose a 25% tariff on Canadian goods. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. When we come back, We'll speak with two historians who helped lead a vote Sunday by the oldest U.S. learned association, the American Historical Association, which was founded as an act of Congress. They voted to approve a resolution to oppose scholasticide in Gaza. Stay with us.
We were so afraid you would kill our children. Dug us a cave that was 7 foot deep. Put our young ones and a pregnant woman down inside that cave to sleep. That very night your soldiers waited till all us miners was asleep. You snuck around our little tent town, soaked our tents with your kerosene. Struck a match and the blaze it started. Pulled the triggers of your Gatling gun. I made a run for the children, but a firewall stopped me. 13 children died from your gun. I carried my blanket to a wire fence corner. Watched the fire till the blaze died down. I helped some people drag their little belongings.
This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We begin today's show with a vote Sunday by the oldest learned association in the United States, the American Historical Association, which was founded by an act of Congress to approve a resolution to oppose scholasticide in Gaza.
Opposing the resolution, 88 votes. In favor of the resolution, 420.
Yeah! The results of that vote were read by the outgoing president of the American Historical
Cold weather getting you down? Warm up this season with amazing hot food to go at Old Farm Fine Foods. Pizza, frittata, sausage rolls, sandwiches, soups, and more are ready and waiting to get in your belly. Plus, you can also buy fresh and frozen foods to prepare at home and enjoy a huge selection of meats, cheeses, produce, coffee, beverages, and condiments. Pop into the shop Monday through Saturday between 8 and 5 at 204 Berry Street in downtown Kingston. And don't forget to follow Old Farm Fine Foods on Instagram at OldFarmFF to get the scoop on the latest goodies. Old Farm Fine Foods, comfort food you can count on.
Hi everyone, you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. I'm your host Claire and you're listening to Earworm. Today I am here with a Toronto-based artist that has recently come out with her EP called Don't Text Me Back and has been putting out music since 2021. She has worked with other Toronto artists such as Monsoon, Dylan Sinclair, and Justice Durr. She has also recently headlined her very own show in November. Give it up for Rowena Fisk. Is that how you pronounce it?
Physics.
Oh, that's so sick. Okay, sorry. I've been mispronouncing your name.
No, everyone does.
Oh, everyone does.
Yeah, everyone does.
That sucks. To just start the interview, want to talk about a little bit about your lore, like where are you from and how and why did you get into making music?
My lore. I was born and raised in the Philippines.
Oh, really? When did you come to Canada?
I came to Canada when I was 14.
Whoa. Yeah. Oh, so that's why you know so much, like, Cebuano.
Yeah. I grew up in a small town called Malaybalay.
Wow.
Malaybalay City. That's in Bukidnon. Yeah. That's in Mindanao.
Mindanao.
Oh,
interesting.
Yeah, basically surrounded by greenery and hills. Yeah, so that was my childhood. Moved here at 14 with my mom. In terms of music, I've always been in music. I've been playing piano since I was 6, classically trained. And I grew up with my dad, who was still is a big music fan. He taught me guitar, and like I just grew up around like a lot of music because he would listen to a lot of like 70s rock and like Queen, OPM. Beatles.
Oh, no.
OPM too. Yeah, so I grew up with my dad. He was basically the one who taught me about music or like sparked my interest in music. And I also just got the skill of like singing and just like playing around with sounds like that from him. So when I came here, I grew up Seventh-day Adventist, if you know what that is. So that's a Protestant denomination. And in that church, like, there's a lot of singing. So I was in choirs my whole life as well. And then when I came here, I also went to a private Seventh-day Adventist school. And there was so much singing there. A lot of gospel music. Okay. So I got really into that world, especially the Seventh-day Adventist black churches in Toronto and Scarborough. So we're just immersed in, you know, I was in the choir, so we would travel to different churches to perform. We even went to St. Kitts and Nevis.
Ooh,
like in the
sick.
Caribbean. Yeah,
okay.
As like a choir trip with a band as well. But yeah, I got here, I got my first MacBook, and there was a GarageBand in there.
Nice.
And I was like, this is it. Like, played around. I was like, it just clicked. It was easy. It was natural. That was one of the first times I produced anything. But the first thing I did was really like arrange vocals. That was my main interest.
How old were you when you produced your
music? 16. Yeah, and then like my interest for writing also sparked around that time. I started to write poems more, and in grade 12, which was like 3 years later, I took a writer's craft course as an elective, and that was when I really like honed my writing skills. And I was like, I was good with the music and I had stuff to say, so it was just like I just kept making more and more and more and more. And it was around the time when I was in a really bad space in my life, and music was kind of a way to explain what was happening, and not just with words but with frequencies. So by 2021, I had already saved up so many songs in the archives, and I didn't know what to do with them, but I knew I wanted to release music, so I was like, let me just drop something. And I went to the archives and like chose those 5 songs that's in error.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, these five make sense. Let me just... The hardest part was mixing it. Like, it was hell. I think that was the worst part. I mixed it myself. And I had no idea what to do. I used GarageBand the whole time with, like, shitty headphones. And I just, like, followed my instinct with that. And I used to... When it came out, like, I couldn't really listen to it. But now, like, I listen back and it's like, this is really good. Just knowing. Yeah, like, knowing what I had. And, like, I worked with what I had and the circumstances. And, like, I had no idea what I was doing, but it still turned out. For me, it's, like, timeless in terms of just my personal work. I can really enjoy this when I'm listening to it.
Talking about more of your recent work, like, mm-hmm. the EP that just came out, what was the inspiration of writing that EP?
When I, in the past, making EPs has been just, like, seeing what's already there, like, what songs are already existing and seeing if they match thematically, sonically. And a lot of the songs from that EP, Don't Text Me Back, has subject matter about, I guess, relationships and navigating through that. I think three of the songs in there are really old, like, a few years old. And then I was like, this needs to get out.
Which songs?
Intention For You, Passion For You. Okay, so Passion For You, Intention For You. Those two are fairly old. 2 years old, I think. And then everything else I wrote. Oh, so maybe 3 years old. And then everything else is like a year and a half or 2 years old. And yeah, so they're all about relationships and I guess non-relationships. Like yearning for certain people.
My crush.
Yeah, crush. And...
I was, like, putting it on repeat, like, for all of November.
Nice.
It's because I felt really, like, I had FOMO from, like, your performance.
Oh!
I, like, really wanted to go, but I, like, couldn't because of school.
Yeah, that's okay. I was gonna say, sonically, some of those songs are really different from the demo because I had to kind of mold them into something that makes sense together. Because that's how I prefer making projects. They have to make sense as a whole as well, not just putting them next to each other. Especially Intention For You, because originally it sounded like an 80s pop disco, like Careless Whisper, more vibe, instead of the... more modern twist to it now. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
It kind of gives off like the 80s vibe, like All Over For You.
Or All Over You.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Kind of gives off that vibe.
That one definitely.
But I guess they're like right next to each other too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was on my Whitney Houston, George Michael moment when I was working on that.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so talking about like your EP and like your vision kind of the EP. So there was a specific type of vision with the aesthetic of the EP, like the cover art, the music videos, and the performances. How did you curate that vision and why do you think it matches the sound of it?
I always say this, like, shout out to Jamie Lee, my best friend and acting manager right now. She, for the most part, takes the direction for how it looks visually. She usually just gives me ideas, like suggestions, and I'm like, okay, I like that. I like this one. I don't like this one. Let me go from there. The idea for the curtains in the basement was definitely hers. She wanted to just have so many eyes in one place. I was like, okay, I don't mind that. Let's try it. Like, I also, at that point when she brought it up, I was pretty open to whatever idea it was visually. I was like, I'm curious to see how this comes out. Because when she brought it up to me, like, conceptually, it's pretty cool. Like, curtains, and we were going to screen print each and every one of those ourselves. And just the idea of being in a dirty-ass basement. I think I liked the juxtaposition of... The music itself sounds to me like... It's pretty sweet, like sonically, maybe even some warmth in there. I like the idea of contrasting that with
cool tones
and kind of brutalist, mm-hmm. a brutalist design, and just to kind of channel my inner masculinity as well, because I like to kind of cross between the boundaries of femininity and masculinity, and I feel like that was a really cool mix of just me being there and with a backdrop of just concrete and dirt and darkness. And I was more so referring to the music video for All Over You, but for the visualizer for Intention For You, that was supposed to be another music video as well, which was also in the basement with, you know, there was a fish tank in there with like jellyfish, fake jellyfish. And like a bed. It was a whole setup. It was gonna be like a one shot. And then we didn't like it. So we just turned it into that. And we used the elements, the computers and everything to just bring it together. I think that was my favorite part of the set. There was a bunch of just like really old computers from like the 80s. Mm-hmm. Like a Mac from the 70s. It's like, this is sick. And the interface is so different. But yeah, I mean, I kind of had no idea how everything was going to turn out in the end, but I really like it, how it's aged so far. Crush, I remember, I produced this, and when I was working on the production, I found that I really liked the synth, like the opening synth. Mm-hmm. I was like, this reminds me of early mornings in the Philippines.
Oh.
On the way to school.
Where's the roosters though?
Yeah, I know, I know. I was like, it's like, it's like I forgot about that. I should have done that.
Next time.
I kept listening to it, and I was like, this really brings me back, and it was so nostalgic, I can almost taste it. I kept listening to it over and over again, because I couldn't get over, and it made me miss